use. Kabbage has helped more than 100,000 businesses from every industry with over $3 billion in funding. Kabbage is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and was named the Forbes Top 100 Company twice in a row. Whether you own a restaurant or any type of small business, get started at cabbagewithak.com/owner or call 855-CABBAGE, K-A-B-B-A-G-E.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
Incidents at two Northern California Islamic centers over the weekend being investigated as possible hate crimes. In Sacramento, police say a burned Quran filled with bacon was found hanging by a handcuff from a fence outside a mosque. A few miles to the west in Davis, several cut-up pages of a Quran were found outside an Islamic center. In Delaware, a professor's out of a job after she said a young American who died after coming home from North Korean captivity in a coma got what he deserved. Mark Mayfield reports.
Kathy Detweiler was a contract adjunct professor of anthropology at the University of Delaware. She faced a backlash after she posted on Facebook that Otto Warmbier's parents are to blame for him thinking he could get away with whatever he wanted. She went on to say that that might be the case in the U.S. where, quote, young, rich, clueless white males routinely get away with raping women, but not North Korea. The university condemned her statements and released a statement on Sunday saying Detweiler would not be rehired in the future.
USA Radio News.
Hey, Mom, I got your message. Do you need me to come home early?
Hi, dear. We're all doing fine. The kids haven't slowed down all day, and thanks to Blue Emu, neither have I.
But I thought you said...
Well, I tried your father's Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief Cream. It worked fast to relieve the pain in my achy muscles and joints.
Blue Emu, huh?
That's right. And it's odor-free.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
Over 1,000 firefighters are battling the Bryan Head wildfire in southern Utah. This man among those who've been evacuated.
I know that they're doing the best they can to save cabins, and I think we're just lucky that nobody's been, you know, hurt or killed yet.
The fire has burned over 44,000 acres, and it's only 10% contained, and it has destroyed at least 13 homes. Not helpful to the firefighting efforts today, a forecast of much stronger winds across that region. The fraud trial for the former pharmaceuticals executive who went on to become known as the most hated man in America is getting underway today. And we get a preview of the trial from correspondent Sarah Lee Kessler.
Martin Shkreli gained infamy for jacking up the price of a rare life-saving drug from $13.50 a pill to $750 when he was CEO of Turing Pharmaceuticals. But his criminal trial has to do with securities fraud, wire fraud, and conspiracy. Prosecutors say Shkreli looted retrofit, a drug company he founded, cheating investors out of more than $11 million in a five-year Ponzi scheme. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
And trial gets underway today for former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the man often called America's toughest sheriff, facing federal criminal contempt of court charges stemming from his alleged intentional ignoring of a judge's order to stop enforcing federal immigration law. He could do 6 months in jail. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We're nice toward the end of June here. Clearing up, sunny today. High near 79, cloudy on the overnight, low in the 50s. Slight chance of showers on Tuesday afternoon, high in the upper 70s. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low and back in the 50s. Sunny again Wednesday and Thursday, although Thursday night, late, slight chance of showers. Friday and Friday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, cloudy, low in the upper 80s during the day and down in the upper 70s at night. Showers again Saturday and Sunday. At least that's the outlook from here. Hopefully, early next week, nice break in the weather. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Greetings, one and all. Chef Bill here. Bill Kinslow at the table at 100andchamberradio.com. Nice spring/summer day. Humidity's gone and everything's nice, at least around here in Flemington. The Northeast is other parts of the country that are a little bit warm right now, I would say. And we'll see what happens there. But right now for us, it's pretty good. So what's going on, obviously, this week, next week, rather, the 4th of July. If you haven't been outside cooking already, certainly the 4th of July is the time we would do it, right? And hopefully the weather holds for everybody. And if not, you can always do a picnic indoors. So we used to cook on the even on our front porch. The parents' house, a big old house, and the porch was big enough to put the grill on, and I think a lot of people, well, my one brother does it at the edge of his, just outside the garage, under the roof overhang there if you're getting a little rain, and then go from there. But cooking outdoors or cooking over a gas or especially a good charcoal or hardwood fire, it's pretty good. And I think for 4th of July, we look at, I guess, tradition. We celebrate our independence. You know, you want to do something with a little red, white, and blue, whether it's a nice berry shortcake, or I'm going to talk today about a couple of ideas for potato salad. My father always said it's the start of mayonnaise season, right? In the summer, everything needs mayonnaise, macaroni salad and coleslaw and potato salad and all those good things. Well, there's many other variations that, and we'll explore a couple of those also, but funny how the two foods we think of, hot dogs and hamburgers, which really have, burgers especially, in recent years have pretty much captivated all levels of food service, restaurants, whether it's fast, casual, fine dining. I saw even the fancy steakhouses. Everybody's got a burger there. And we don't seem to get tired of it. It's really, hamburger. And, of course, all over the map as far as quality and things we want to figure out how to get the best results. You know, everything from frozen patties and things that aren't even 100% beef to grinding up your own steak. Hamburg steak, of course, from Germany, as the Frankfurters, the hot dogs, the two things we enjoy, speaks for a lot of the Germans that came over here. A lot of them are butchers, and the bounty of this country with the introduction of the pig. We had wild boar here, but the domesticated pig as we know it was brought over. Beef was brought over. Our native would be bison as far as cattle like that. So, you know, it's we are that melting pot, and it's neat how the traditions have happened. And we are a young country, and you think, well, these don't go back thousands of years. It's basically relatively recent in the scheme of things. So when we talk about hamburgers, now you'll see on menus, say, chopped sirloin, chopped steak, things like that. And you hope that they are using sirloin. When I first worked at the first restaurant I worked in, the Fireside, we ground our own chopped steak. We didn't really serve lunch much of the year, only in the summertime, but we had what we call bench trimmings because we were breaking down full ribs into roasts and full loins into steaks. So there's obviously trimmings that are not center cut or prime cut, what you would use for your steaks or roasts. And so we had really good front quarter and rib and sirloin trimmings. And we would grind the meat. We actually ground the meat twice. We had a coarse blade on the grinder, and then we would pass it through a second time, get very, very good texture. And we didn't really worry about the fat content. Most muscles in with the beef are right around 75% lean. If you trim away some surface fat and excess visible fat, then you can get down to maybe an 80 or 85% lean. And back then, even when we bought beef in the store, the ground beef, it wasn't packaged up. It was fresh ground, and it was in the refrigerator in the butcher shop, and they would kind of, with a little spade there, they would weigh it out. It wasn't sealed up. It wasn't pressed into a bag, compressed. It was nice and loose and fresh, looked good. And there was either ground chuck or there was ground round. And now we have all the percentages. You can get 93% lean, 92, 91, 87, 85. And those, of course, they're tested for the fat content to put that claim on them. And naturally, the fattier meat will come from more of the chuck, a more exercised front portion, which has more flavor, and your leaner will come from your round. Some people I know would say, all right, I want to grind up a sirloin steak, and it's okay. Grinding, of course, or chopping, mincing, whatever you want to call it, is a way of tenderizing. And you would naturally use some tougher cuts, and by the time they're chopped up, of course, you've got tender steak. It doesn't make sense to grind up, let's say, filet mignon. I mean, if that's, you know, for a steak tartare, I wouldn't even grind it. I would hand chop that. And in fact, if you're good with a knife, you have a good sharp knife, mincing, finely chopping the meat would be a neat way to do it. If you cut the meat into thin matchsticks and then very fine dice, and you'll get really something unique in texture. We use at the restaurant, we use a 80-20 blend, so it's 80% lean. We charbroil the hamburger, so you need that extra fat in there to keep them juicy. And it's a chuck sirloin mix, so you have the flavor from the chuck, and the sirloin is it's a little bit different grind. It's you can almost call it a steak burger. It's got texture of steak. It's not mushy. Oftentimes you get burgers that are ground too finely or handled too much, and it's just you're not getting any texture. It's just like, yeah, I guess if you want meatballs or meatloaf, that's fine, but a burger should have, you know, a little bit of chew to it. You don't want it to be tough. You don't want it to be dry, but you want it to feel like you're eating steak. So that's what we do. So if you're buying your own, you look for the leanness that you want. And I would say if you're going to add some ingredients to it, seems to be a trend nowadays, not only for cost reasons, but for flavor reasons or even nutrition, to add other non-meat ingredients, starting from simply a little bit of egg and breadcrumb. Cooked mushrooms seem to be a real favorite. Some people may put some grains in there. You will get a little different texture, a little different flavor. I think cooked, finely chopped mushrooms or a duck sau would be my favorite. I've made sausages with that before. with veal. Veal doesn't have a lot of flavor, and it's very lean. You add some of the duck sal to it, and you can come up with a nice, you know, something that has some flavor. So we're up against the quarter hour. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more, really, you know, a lot of cooking. You have recipes and you have technique, but knowing what to buy is probably the most important thing. You have to start with something good to get the desired results. We'll be right back at the table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, we're back at the table here. So hamburgers, and sometimes we can overthink things a little bit, right? You see the techniques out there. First of all, picking the right grind. You want something, again, not too coarse, not too fine. If you're grinding your own in a food processor, you can do it. I would cube the meat and even put it in the freezer for a few. Not long. You don't want to freeze it. You just want to firm it up. When you're grinding or even processing, you should have the product very cold. And if you're using a stand mixer with a grinder attachments that are metal, make sure they're cold. Otherwise, the meat loses that texture and it just gets mushy. Buying the meat, if you go to a reputable butcher, I know if I go in the store, I like certified Angus. I like the flavor of it. People are touting. We've used the Kobe, the Wagyu, which has a little finer texture to it. The fat's more dispersed through it, a little bit fattier. You can't simulate Kobe by just adding more fat to it. It's all about the way it's interspersed with the muscles. And it's very good. I kind of prefer the flavor of the certified Angus myself. And there's other different grinds and mixtures out there. You'll see that restaurants especially are touting. And there is a reason for it. They say, oh, I'm using short rib and brisket and all this stuff. It's all from the chuck. What does it matter? Well, different cuts of meat, the fat has different melting properties. So if you take some fat from the brisket, let's say, And if you ever had barbecued or braised brisket, you know that even though you cook it for a long time, there's still some fat left in that meat. That fat does not melt away. So when you have brisket in the grind, there's some fat that's, you know, also known as some flavor, juiciness, that will be left in the meat. Where if you use the straight sirloin or chuck, a lot of the fat will melt away. A short rib, again, very rich flavor, exercised, you know, it's a meat that's got to be cooked a long time, but when you grind it or chop it, you've tenderized it, and you get all the benefit of that flavor. So if you do, like, really want to experiment, if you find one of those, I guess, gourmet blends, whatever you want to call them, but some of these specialty blends from butchers, really, it does make a difference in not just the flavor, mainly the texture. So just keep that in mind if you happen to see one of these mixtures out there. Try them out. Now with the patties, shape them. You want them thick? Do you want them thin? Normally, for dinner in a restaurant, a burger is half a pound, or it could be 9 or 10 ounces. Beyond that, you can get bigger than that if you want, but a half pound is pretty good. You know, you cook it medium rare, you don't get a whole lot of shrinkage, and it's with the toppers, the bun, everything, it's a good meal. Probably in cookouts, if you're serving other things, you might want to scale it down a little bit. Also, they will cook quicker. The 4 ounce seems to be just right, and then it actually happens to fit the standard hamburger rolls that you buy. Or you go with the sliders. Sliders, you want to scale those to about 2 ounces. And sliders are okay depending if the grate on your grill, if the grates are close enough together, you don't want them to fall through. Sliders are a great idea because if you're having, you know, some other items, you're not eating a whole hamburger and a hot dog and a sausage and pepper or whatever. Smaller pieces are better. So when you're shaping them, now seasoning the meat, really don't season too far ahead, especially with salt. Salt kind of draws moisture out. You can salt afterwards. You can salt before. Sprinkling pepper over the grill. If it burns on the grill grates, it scorches, gets a little bit bitter. I know I'm talking with Pete from Black River Tea and Spice. He says it does, you know, you can burn black pepper when you expose it to too much heat. So you have your patties. They should be well chilled. Some places, people say, well, you know, bring them to room temperature, they'll cook better, they'll cook more evenly. The ground meat, you want them well chilled. It's better to make the patties, let them chill again. You want them to hold together. Again, you don't want to press them too much. If you use a ring mold, you find something that that's the right size for the bun. You want a little thickness to them also. Unless you really have to have them well done, you want to leave a little pink, little juice in there, even medium rare. So make it, you know, a decent thickness, not more than an inch, I would say. After that, it's going to take a little bit too long to cook. And when you have the grill or your hardwood fire or charcoal, you want about a medium heat. You don't need it too hot. You want some sear on them, but, you know, there's the other issue. Do you sear them in a pan? The pan gives you that little better crust, but the grill gives you that nice charred flavor. And I'm saying, okay, we're going to be outside. Let's do them on the grill. Medium-high heat. You've seen a technique or heard of it where you say, oh, let's put a little depression in the middle so when the meat cooks, it doesn't get, we call it meatballing, when the center kind of it curls up there. If you leave the meat too long on one side, that happens. You've got it shrinks as it's cooking, of course, losing moisture. And you go to flip it, and it won't sit flat. Then you've got uneven cooking. So some chefs will put a little depression in there, saying, okay, it's going to shrink and then be okay. Well, really, the years I started as a roast cook, and rotisserie cooking, obviously, a lot of rotating, turning. I like to turn early and often. I'm sorry, if you want a char or a crust on the end, I used to do it with steak Pittsburgh style, you turn frequently at the end and keep searing, basting with butter. That will give you the nice crust. For burgers, we like to just, let's say you've got your gas grill, and you want to make sure the grate's clean, you want to oil, lubricate so the meat doesn't stick. But really, you put them on the grill for about a minute and a half. And I put them on there. I do put the cover down. If you have the cover open, it's going to, you know, you lose some of the heat. You make sure your grill temperature is up to that, you know, 450, good hot grill, medium hot. You don't need the 1,800 degrees that the steakhouses have. But you put the cover down about 1.5 minutes, and then you give the burgers a quarter turn and close the lid, do another minute and a half. So you want them marked. You want your nice crisscrosses there. Also, if you leave them too long, it's going to char too much. You want that nice caramelized browning, but you don't want it burnt. So after that, you're going to flip, and this way you haven't really started the meat cooking too much. They shouldn't be puffing up. You'd repeat the same process. A minute, close the lid, a minute and a half, another quarter turn, minute and a half, and then you check it. 6-7 minutes should give you medium rare on a nice-sized burger. But you check with your, thermometers are fine, but you can tell by feeling them. The resiliency, as the protein cooks, of course, is going to get firmer. And don't forget carryover cooking, resting. If you let the burgers rest a little bit off to the side, you'll see, some juices will run a little bit, but also it lets the juices flow back into the meat, so it won't be well done on the outside and have this red raw inside. You want things to kind of even out. And what happens if you think getting away from you, like any barbecuing or cooking, you have make sure you have a clean plate to rest them on, not the plate that you had the raw meat on. You want a clean one. You don't cross-contaminate that way. And then you can assemble. And the buns, of course, you want them toasted. You don't want them toasted. That's your preference. But the condiments and the sauces, oftentimes with sliders, people will just build them, put everything on there, and people can just grab them and enjoy them. But normally, you know, you have your pickles and have maybe minced onion, something cool. Actually, what I would like is what we call an onion steak. You take a thick slice of a nice Vidalia or a Texas sweet onion and put a skewer through it. So you're going to cut these fairly thick, just like we did for onion rings. And you'll put skewers or toothpicks in there. You want to hold together, because if you put the sliced onion on the grill, of course, it'll start to fall apart. But let those cook same way. Turn them a few times. Baste them with your favorite barbecue sauce or maybe a mustard glaze, whatever you like. And it becomes a nice condiment for the burger. You have the onion about the same size as the burger. It's cooked. It's charred. Got the sauce on it, and you're ready to go. Got me on my knees, yeah. Melting cheese. Of course, American cheese does the best because you don't really have to top melt it. Just the heat from the burger will melt it. Other cheeses are great. Cheddar's nice. Hard cheeses. Some people may try to use shredded cheese. Of course, you're going to lose some trying to pile it on there. What I've done, we're working on a signature burger, if you will, finally at Jake's after 26 years. And I made, you all heard of Cheese Whiz or Whisper-Eyed Cheese Food, and I made my own. And I based it on kind of our queso recipe. There's no gluten, no flour in it. I'm not making a cheese sauce here. It's more like a fondue. And when it chills down, of course, it's firm enough to spread on the roll or spread on the burger, and it just kind of warms right up. You don't have to worry about melting it. But standard, classic would be a cheddar. Pepper jack is good, but that's a variation of a Monterey Jack, which is another good melting, good strictly a American kind of invention there. The Monterey, the Jack cheese is good. Colby cheese is good. All those are good. we were talking about it. If you get too sharp a cheese, it kind of takes over. Blue cheese is good. The crumbles, in fact, if you want to do a stuffed burger, blue cheese crumbles are great. Some people do other types, insert a little piece of cheddar or something. Blue cheese seems to work well. You can undercook the burgers a little bit, and the blue cheese still has plenty of flavor in there. And if you're doing a stuffed, we could call, I guess, the Juicy Lucy's, when you have the cheese oozing out, you'll make simply two thin patties and put the cheese in the middle, put the patties together, press them to seal, and then cook. And you don't need to do the burgers well done to get that cheese to start melting. The blue cheese should melt pretty easily. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back, and we'll see what we can do about some potato salad, Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news from the Supreme Court, and it's a setback for the White House. Lower court rulings blocking President Trump's immigrant travel ban will stay in effect as the Supreme Court does consider the case this fall. It is a blow to the president's executive order blocking travelers from several Muslim-majority nations from entering the U.S. The high court's term ending today, and the new term opens in October. The Trump administration had wanted quick action from the high court to overturn those lower court rulings. The company behind the auto industry's biggest recall ever filing for bankruptcy. Here's Sharon Reed.
Takata's U.S. arm filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in Delaware. Faulty airbag inflators made by that company have been tied to at least 17 deaths.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyroot for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesale of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
Back at Chef Bill's Table here. So if burgers, when you're eating in a restaurant, of course, the normal accompaniment is French fries. When we're outside, like a potato salad, right, in the summertime, nothing better. You still like our potatoes, but we're going to go with a potato salad. And mayonnaise-based is probably the most common, although there's many good ones that you can make if you don't want mayonnaise. With a vinaigrette from anywhere from a German style, which would be even a warm potato salad, probably more European, although anybody, of course, you can either olive oil and a nice red wine vinegar, white wine, champagne vinegar, depending on what you're garnishing with. But I like the potato to stand out. If you want a vegetable salad, make a Russian salad, a salad a la Russe. That would be diced potatoes and carrots and turnips, maybe some cut beans and peas, and you combine those with the mayo and Yeah, you've got a nice potato vegetable salad. But for me, the one we used to make up in the Adirondacks, very simple, pure, a lot of egg in it, and not too much else. No pickles, no celery, no big chunks of onion. You want to taste potatoes. Interesting, Florence Fabricant, she had a great potato book, nice little paperback, and she has some nice suggestions in there for potatoes and explores very, you don't realize how many varieties of potatoes are out there. And a lot of them you can't really find in your standard supermarket, although you can see more varieties are around there, but she has a nice suggestion there about using the purple potatoes. And another one called an all red, which is not just red skin, but has the red flesh. Or you could use a red skin potato. And then either a creamer, which is nice, the small potatoes, or a fingerling, or what we call a California long white potato. So you have your red, white, and blue potato salad. Purple potato is very starchy, would actually work well with a vinaigrette. The red potatoes are waxy, and the creamers are soft. So you've actually got three textures there going on. So pretty cool if you like to experiment with the color and the textural difference. She recommends a vinaigrette with some extra virgin oil, red wine vinegar, a little anchovy, jalapenos minced, lemon zest, and some scallion, mint, and parsley. A little different flavor, but also an herb mayo would work just fine. We used to do, especially for catering up north, years ago, we used to buy a gentleman, it was Tucker Taters, grew a lot of seed potato. The nice eastern potato, you know, you look at potato for salad. Now, red potatoes, the red bliss, very good waxy potatoes. The dressing doesn't really get absorbed too much. They hold up well. The skin is thin. You don't have to peel them. You know, there's a lot to be said for that. But I like a potato that's going to absorb a little bit. And just the good old Eastern, we call chef potatoes, work very well. Now, we like to cook them with the skin on. Don't peel and dice them ahead of time and say, okay, then I got my perfect cubes. No, that's... You can cook them faster, but it's not going to accept the dressing the same way. It's better to, trust me, it's better to cook them whole, let them cool off. I mean, you could do it under running water if you need to speed up the process. Otherwise, just let them cool naturally. Skin comes off very easily. And even with just a table knife, you don't even need a potato peeler. Just scrape the skin off and then even use that same knife just to cut the potatoes in quarters or slices, whatever you want. You're going to be mixing it up anyway, so I usually use larger pieces because it's going to break up as you mix the salad anyway. Start with cold water always when you're boiling potatoes, and check them with either a tine of a cook's fork, the two tine fork, or a paring knife. You want the potatoes to be cooked all the way through. You don't want them mushy or overcooked, but you do not want al dente potatoes, trust me, for potato salad. You don't want raw potato in there. So you'll pick potatoes that are of similar size for best results, and check them again with you insert the knife. It should go in relatively easily. And if you want a comparison, again, poke a knife into a raw potato and see the resistance you get. And then as you're checking, you know, after 15 or 20 minutes, start checking and see, you know, you start to feel a little bit more give there when the potato is soft all the way through. That's when you drain them, let them cool off. So you're peeling them, you let them cool down. Even if you wanted to cook them the day before, that's fine. Then refrigerate them. Another, while the potatoes are cooking, or actually while they're cooling, whatever you want to do, boil up some eggs. Now, we like a high percentage of boiled egg in our potato. A couple of reasons. Tastes good. The more egg you use, the less mayonnaise you have to use. If you don't want it to be like just a mayonnaise salad, or like some of the commercial ones, put a little sour cream in there. I think that might, you know, to lighten the texture a little bit, but also lower the pH. You want a little bit of acid in there. It's, you know, a little safety reason. Plus, flavor. We like to use lemon juice in our dressing. That kind of takes care of that. Nice thing about lemon juice is you don't need, it's kind of a salt substitute. Mayonnaise itself is pretty salty. The lemon juice helps offset, you know, a little sharpness in there, a little brightness for the salad. But also, if somebody does put salt on the salad, it will not be oversalted because you've used lemon juice that gives you that sensation of salt. So you have your potatoes, they're peeled, eggs. Make sure they're not cooked to death. Nice hard-cooked egg are peeled. And for this for salad, really, the old four-sided box grater is my weapon of choice for this thing. You can use the slicing side to slice the eggs. Again, you don't need them in. You can have an egg slicer if you want, but really the grater just kind of break up the egg a little bit. You're going to, again, it doesn't, they don't have to be perfect pieces. You want a couple of big pieces of white. The yolk's going to kind of crumble a little bit. On the shredded side, we do shredded carrot, a little bit of crunch, a little hint of color, and also the onion for this. We grate the onion. We don't even a fine mince won't do. You grate the onion so it's almost like juice. And you don't need very much. And the grated onion, of course, you put in your dressing with the mayonnaise. You've got your potatoes cooled and peeled. You've got your eggs sliced, your carrot shredded. At this point, I would give them a light toss. Just kind of mix everything around. Your dressing, you have your mayonnaise, some lemon juice. We need a little dry mustard in there. Or you can use prepared mustard if you like, but dry mustard is normally what we use. A little bit of paprika, a little white pepper, chopped fresh parsley, and for a little bit more mild onion flavor, some minced scallion or chives. You can, with the scallion, use the white and the green. Very, very mild onion. Again, you don't need a whole lot, but this dressing with a little bit of lemon juice in there, and do it to taste, you'll find that with a lot of a high percentage of eggs, so say if you've got 5 pounds of potatoes, you use a good dozen eggs or even more. You use less mayonnaise. And in fact, with these potato salads, you should almost be able to shake the bowl and it should wiggle a little bit. It's not going to be something just dense like you do get with the waxy potatoes. But this should be pure potato flavor. If you need to salt, that's fine. But the mayonnaise, for me, normally is salty enough. And I say you'll be surprised how little mayonnaise you need to bind this when you use a high percentage of eggs. Now, other variations, of course, a Dijon vinaigrette or the anchovy one I mentioned. I guess you could call it a potato salad. It's more of a nice composed salad that could work. You have your cooked potatoes, and again, use the red potatoes would be good for this. A good waxy potato. It's going to be in a vinaigrette, your favorite Italian dressing, whether you make one or buy one. But nice cooked green beans. Good green beans, cooked till they're crisp tender. You don't want them mushy. Want them to, you blanch them, of course, boiling water, and then cool them off in some, you don't have to shock them, but you want them in some cool, some water with a couple of ice cubes just to stop that cooking process. Some tomatoes, if your tomatoes are ripe, use, of course, some nice wedges of plum tomato or have some grape or cherry tomatoes. A little bit of onion. Thinly sliced, doesn't have to be big chunks, but you want this kind of mixed salad, green beans, tomatoes, potatoes. It's a vinaigrette. What's nice about that is you don't have to worry as much about the, if you're outside in the warm, salad actually tastes pretty good warmed up. It doesn't have to be well chilled. And for flavor reasons and even for safety reasons, if you have on a hot day, you don't want to have something with mayonnaise sitting out too long. So this kind of green bean and potato and tomato salad will actually fill the bill, especially, again, if you don't care for mayonnaise. We've got a break for messages here at the quarter hour. And I guess so. We got to think about hot dogs and about, yeah, what else we're going to do for our 4th of July cookout, Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in the Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table. So our 4th of July, so burgers. We're not going to overthink these things. We're gonna keep it simple. Didn't really discuss rolls, but that's kind of your favorite. Potato rolls might be one. Kaisers are okay. Get them fresh. Some people like English muffins. Should be kind of cool if you had the larger muffins, I guess. That's like a sourdough, almost. But you know, the rolls should match the meat in size, and then you don't want the roll to take over the meat. You don't want it too bulky, too dense. Remember the texture of the meat. If you have to squeeze too hard to bite through the roll, then you squish everything out, right? You could, especially if you have some toppers and sauces on those burgers. So toppers, you know, again, marinated onions, cooked onions, peppers, whatever you like, sauces. It's where people can customize their own. So the hot dogs. Interestingly about hot dogs, there's, of course, there's some national brands. And although we were, you know, raised on the, I guess kids always like the ballpark or Oscar Mayer. But we find as we get older, every area of the country has its own hot dogs. One of the things that can compete against national brands are hot dogs. And the other two things, of course, are coffee and potato chips. Potato chips always better when they're from your area, closer to the source, a lot fresher. Same with fresh with roasted coffee. You have national brands, but regionally there's different preferences for different types of coffee, different grinds, different roasts. And hot dogs, really, you can have battles over that. Of course, metropolitan area here, we love the soubrettes. And you get natural casing, you get artificial casing. Of course, the natural ones, the snap, is what you want. Nathan's is also popular. Thumans in New Jersey. Back, I hail from Syracuse. The Hoffman Hots. Hots are the best ones up there, and they have the white ones, the snappy grillers, made with veal and pork. There's no, if you want something nitrate free and nitrite free, that's what you get. It's a very fine, good little spice to it. Something different. I guess we used to call them conies, but conies in another section of the country refer to like a Coney Island hot dog, which is with the chili sauce on it. We never really did the chili sauce. It wasn't meat chili. My father would make a pepper relish or chili sauce as a condiment. On these dogs, you never put ketchup. You can, but so many more things. Sauerkraut is the garnish around here. You know, the Chicago dog, it's fully loaded. You got the Sonoran hot dogs everywhere you go. Different garnishes and toppers for the hot dogs. So on the 4th, you know, seek out something from your area. Whatever the regional preference is, or your own preference. I mean, I'm down here, you know, in Flemington, but I'll go to a store that carries the, if I can get the Hoffman's, that's kind of my treat. Getting something that you remember from other times. We like natural casing rather than artificial. You want that snap when you're cooking after they're cooked. Now, you know, inside, you know, most of the year we do what I call the dirty water dogs, right? I'll take the hot dogs on a griddle or a pan with a little bit of butter and lightly brown them and then add some water to the pan and poach them. You don't want them to split open. The meat's already cooked. You're just bringing it to a safe serving temperature. I know there's some places that they deep fry them and they want them all charred and coming apart. And that's its own, that's a textural thing, and I get that. In some cases, yeah, you might prefer that. But for me, if you're buying a good hot dog or a good sausage like that, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a Frankfurter. As I said, you get the white ones. You look for the finely ground. You want that emulsified one, not a coarse ground sausage. Although, you know, bratwursts and other things are popular too, depending on where you're from. Putting them on the grill, again, you have to kind of pay more attention to them. Even though they're cooking, I just throw them on there and let them heat up. But you don't want them to char. You don't want them splitting open. You don't want them curling up. And really, you just need with the spatulas to roll them, keep them moving. I don't know if you've ever seen those hot dog rollers that the concessionaires use. They're just, and you see them in convenience stores, and the rollers just keep the hot dog moving. And what that does, though, especially with a natural casing, that slow, gradual cooking gets that casing nice and crispy. And that's really what you want. So you'd say, oh, yeah, it's a hot dog. I can cook it, I can microwave it, heat it up fast. But like anything else, it's simple, especially you spending, you know, money on a good product. You treat it with respect. So if I was doing it on the grill, I would do fairly, you know, lower heat. You're not looking to really cook the dog. You just want to heat it up and roll it off and just keep them moving. Don't let them char too much on any one side. If you're using a flat griddle, same thing. I know when we I've run a hot dog operation before, even when you see Hides up in Syracuse, you have the grill, you have a cooler part where you're getting the meat warmed up, and then you slide them over to the finishing side where you'll brown them up a little bit more at the end, just like I would do with a steak or anything else. You just brown at the end, and you don't risk overdoing things. But treat them with respect. Again, a nice roll. Do you do split top, New England style? Those are always good, although you're not putting too many ingredients on top of those. The side slice roll, of course, much better for that. And then one of our, again, around here regional favorites, the Italian hot dog, where you take a half of an Italian loaf and you pack that with potatoes and peppers and onions and everything else, is that's another thing all in itself. It's pretty good, but that's one of those is a full meal. So, and 4th of July, what we're going to finish up with, again, you could think of a red, white, and blue theme. I've always mentioned shortcake, especially this time of year. It's tough to beat that. You've got, again, preferences. Do you use a biscuit? Do you use a sponge cake? Do you use a pound cake? You could do, you know, whatever you like, but nothing better than fresh berries, and it doesn't have to be just strawberries, although we would normally have ours by then. Nice fresh strawberries, just a little bit of super fine sugar to draw some of the juices out, and either ice cream, which would be ideal, right? Some nice strawberries and ice cream, or a whipped cream, and some kind of case to put them on. Biscuits are great, buttermilk biscuits, but the sponge cake isn't bad either. I think if I had a preference, I'd go for the biscuits. And we had them at Mirror Lake Inn. That was a year-round. We did strawberry shortcake and always had the fresh biscuits there. Have some of the strawberries with the juice. And strawberries, you know, they're available all the time right now, so no excuse. But blueberries now in New Jersey are in. And wherever you are, we used to do, and up north later in the summer, we would do peach shortcake, although peaches are a little early for peaches yet, I think, but later on in the season, that's a nice treat. But for right now, some berries, sugar, whipped cream or ice cream, and have a ball. So whatever else you're doing the 4th, I think we're not going to do elaborate. We're not going to go, you know, full-blown barbecue, although you could. But we'll have other occasions for that. But really, hot dogs, hamburgers, keep them simple. Don't overthink them. Just good ingredients. Treat them with respect. Make potato salad that tastes like potatoes, and you'll be a winner. Chef Bill, I'm going to, approaching the end of the hour here. We'll be on Rewind next week, trying to pick a show that is relevant. And then, let's see, the week after, be with Pete from Black River doing barbecue rubs. So enjoy the first week, 4th of July. Holiday week if you're taking vacations, and have fun. Chef Bill signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news from the Supreme Court, and it's a setback for the White House. Lower court rulings blocking President Trump's immigrant travel ban will stay in effect as the Supreme Court does consider the case this fall. It is a blow to the president's executive order blocking travelers from several Muslim-majority nations from entering the U.S. The high court's term ending today, and the new term opens in October. The Trump administration had wanted quick action from the high court to overturn those lower court rulings. The company behind the auto industry's biggest recall ever filing for bankruptcy. Here's Sharon Reed.
Takata's U.S. arm filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in Delaware. Faulty airbag inflators made by that company have been tied to at least 17 deaths.
This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want